ਜਿਹੜਾ ਪ੍ਰਭ ਨਿਤਾਨੰਦ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sometimes they are manifest in the waking state and the dream state, but during deep sleep or trance states appear. A person who is liberated in this life can see all these things vividly. Prabhupada stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Chitragyanam Chapi Mamvidit Sarvashekhar Shubharatam, there are two kinds of Chitragya, four living beings, one is an individual living being, the other is a supreme living being. The ordinary living being knows that his body is to some extent, but the Supreme Paramatma knows the condition of all bodies. The individual living being is both Christ and the Supreme Paramatma. He is all-pervading. In this sloka, the word Kshetraya refers to the ordinary living being, not the Supreme Living Being. This ordinary living being is of two kinds, Nityabhata or Nityamukta. One is eternally conditioned, the other is eternally liberated. Eternally liberated living beings are in the Vaikuntha Jagat, the spiritual world, and never fall into the material world. And those in the material world are conditioned souls. Nityabhata. The Nityabhatas can become liberated by controlling the mind, because the cause of conditioned life is the mind. When the mind is trained and the soul is not under the mind's control, the soul can be liberated, even in this material world. When it is liberated, one is called Jivan Mukta. A Jivan Mukta knows how he has become conditioned. Therefore, he tries to purify himself and return home. Back to Godhead. Eternally conditioned soul is eternally conditioned because he is controlled by the mind. The conditioned state and liberated state are compared to the sleeping unconscious state and the waking state. Those who are sleeping and unconscious are eternally conditioned, but those who are awake understand that they are eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Therefore, even in this material world, they engage in Krishna's service. As confirmed in by Rupa Goswami, Diha Yasavara Dasi, if one takes the Krishna service, he is liberated, even though he appears to be a conditioned soul within the material world. Even more associative. In any condition, one should be considered liberated. It is only business to serve. As lays an individual soul, bereft of Krishna consciousness, has many ideas and activities created by the mind, by the external energy. They have been existing from time immemorial. Sometimes they are manifest in the waking state and in the dream state, which are deep sleep or trance, they disappear. A person who is liberated in this life can see all these things vividly. So, this is a description of the conditioned state of the living entity. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, Kshetragya here refers to the Jiva, the Aha, not the Supreme Lord. Even though, technically, the Supreme Lord is the real Kshetragya, or knower of the body, because he knows all bodies, whereas an individual jiva, to some extent, only knows his own body. Here, the term applies to the jiva who knows his own body. The condition of the living entity in the material world is here described as nitya, or eternal. So, usually, of course, eternal implies no beginning and no end. In the case of the jiva in the material world, nitya means no beginning, and in some cases no end, but with the possibility of end in some cases, where a person becomes liberated. So otherwise, the condition is eternally bound up in the material world. That means we cannot trace out a beginning to the conditioning of the living entity. Before this birth, there was another birth. Before that, there was another birth. Before that, there was another birth. So we can never trace out a time when the jiva was free of illusion in this material world. So there's no question of being anywhere else other than conditioned in the material world. If a jiva, by the mercy of the Lord and the scriptural knowledge, practices certain sadhanas, he's able to become liberated from this condition, even though eternally in the past he was bound up. So this is the condition of the living entity in the material world. The condition of the living entity in the spiritual world is that he is
nitya mukta.
So in that case, nitya mukta means no beginning to his residence in the spiritual world, and no end to it also. It doesn't mean there that there's a possibility he could end his position in the spiritual world and fall into the material world. So, for the nitya mukta, the position is that he is eternally in the spiritual world, associating with the Lord, so he never is overcome by ignorance. So in the material world, there is a condition where there's possibility for the jiva getting out of this position of eternal bondage. So there are different processes for doing that. One, of course, is jnana, another is yoga, and another is bhakti. So in the process of jnana and yoga, condition here of the mind, etc., this is destroyed. And then the jiva is free from bondage. So that means the jiva is free of karma, is free of desires, is free of the subtle body. How does he get to that state? So the process of jnana is there, intellectual investigation and rejection of material things, etc. And in yoga, stopping of the functions of the mind through the yoga process. So eventually all the karmas are destroyed and all the desires are destroyed and avidya, ignorance, is destroyed by these two sadhanas. And then the jiva is free of material bondage. Unfortunately, the jiva in that state does not go any further. One simply uncovers the or takes off the coverings of ignorance of the jiva and stops the jiva's ignorant tendency to identify with material things, and he attains the state of Brahman. Then we have the position of a person who practices bhakti. So instead of rejecting the senses and the mind and material objects, the devotee engages these things in the service of the Lord. So this process also destroys karma and desires and ignorance. But more than that, the jiva develops an attraction for the Supreme Lord. So that attraction to the Supreme Lord continues to develop and until the jiva is qualified for the spiritual world, not simply Brahman. And then the jiva gives up the material body and goes to the spiritual world and stays there eternally. So therefore the nitya-buddha jiva, by the process of bhakti, goes to the spiritual world, and he's not a nitya mukta because he has a beginning in the spiritual world, but then he has no end in the spiritual world. So therefore we have different types of jivas. We have the jiva who is eternally bound up in the material world with the possibility of ending that existence. We have the jivas in the spiritual world that have no beginning and no end to their spiritual existence. And then we have the jivas who get liberated, either into Brahman, so they have a beginning of their state of liberation, but no end to the state of liberation in Brahman. And then we have the jivas who go to the spiritual world through the process of bhakti and have a beginning to their spiritual existence there, but no end. So these are called adamuktas. So there is a state called the jivanmukta, who still possesses the material body. He's not in the spiritual world, he's not in Brahman, but he still has a material body. But his consciousness is liberated. So technically he's free of all desires and all ignorance, etc. So the jivanmukta may refer to one who is fixed in Brahman or one who is fixed in devotion. It could be either type of person. In the case of the jivanmukta who is fixed in the Brahman, there is a possibility he can fall from that position. So that is described in the Bhagavatam, how that person can fall. and come back into Maya again. As for the devotee, the Jivan Mukta, no, from that position, he gives up the material body and goes to the spiritual world, that's all. So these are the positions of the different positions of the Jiva. Now there is one Jiva, unfortunate Jiva, who stays in the material world with no beginning, and he can choose to stay here with no end also. He can stay forever if he wants to. So he is literally Nitya Bhaga. But there is a possibility always for the Jiva, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and devotees, to get out of that position. So, one who is pure, or Sudha, as described in this verse, is able to understand the position of the Jiva in the material world, and how he's covered over by everything, these different things, and how this is not a natural position for the Jiva to have a gross material body. So therefore, such a person will encourage others to come to the realization that he must get rid of this connection with the material body. And that's exactly what Jada Bharat is teaching to King Rahugana by the teachings that he is giving. He's not the material body at all, but actually he's a jiva or an atma who has a connection with the Supreme Lord.
They say that one should follow these four regular principles. And that's one. And second, the mode of Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction reflects that mode of, one when it comes to mode of ignorance, the mode of goodness and the path of further progress is revealed. But we understand that bhakti is nirguna and so sattva guna has nothing dealing with it. But we make statement, there are statements that says that mode of goodness is favorable.
Oh, certainly it's favorable. Of the three gunas, sattva is more favorable in the sense that one is detached from sense enjoyment, etc., material enjoyment, more than in the other modes. So the qualification for bhakti is not too attached to material enjoyment. So in that sense, it is better. But even if one is attached to material things and one is in tamaguna or in rajaguna, that does not disqualify one from beginning the process, though it may be more difficult. That's all. So bhakti, sattva-guna is more favorable in some senses. It becomes unfavorable where the sattva-guna person becomes attached to brahman, which is also sattva-guna. Then it becomes unfavorable.
This is confusion actually. Qualities of sattva-guna are very, very close to certain spiritual qualities.
What's that?
Qualities of sattva-guna are very, very... There is a lot of semblance between spiritual qualities and qualities.
Well, jnana itself is sattva-guna. So knowledge of Atma is sattva-guna also. Atma-jnana is sattva-guna.
Bhagavad-jnana
is beyond that.
But then there is a possibility of somebody getting confused and taking sattva-guna to be spiritual.
Then he's bound up in the material world.
Yeah.
He becomes bound. If we become attached to cultivating sattva-guna qualities rather than bhakti, then we become bound by sattva-guna. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, it's also a bondage to become attached to those qualities.
Can we say that these four eight principles should be followed, otherwise we end up committing the offenses against the holy names?
One can. The regulative principles are there as favorable items to help the person control the senses. Because one of the qualifications of bhakti is not to attach to material things, so this is some sort of standard to help in that. But we see that Krishna says even when he commits the most abominable sinful activity, that he's still my devotee. So even when one does sinful activity, that does not disqualify one from bhakti, whereas aparad actually decreases the bhakti. So aparad is even worse than sin.
Four types of Jivanas, Nitya Gaga,
Yeah. Many ideas and activities created by the mind, by external energy, it looks like it is external energy which is taking the jiva away from Krishna, not the jiva himself. Well, yeah, the mind is there. Ultimately, the mind is not the cause of Maya. The jiva is the cause, because he is the chooser of his ignorance. So we should not think that the mind is the cause of everything. Of course, we say that sometimes, just as we say the Prakriti is driving the jiva here and there. Yes, it is, because then it's strong, and it's the force of Maya is very strong, but ultimately it's the jiva and his decision which puts him in that condition where he is attracted to things in the material world. So the original cause of bondage is not desire of the jiva, which desires are held in the mind, but it's the avidya of the jiva himself, his ignorance, which causes ahankara, and then identification with the material body and development of desires in relation to the material body, which reside in the mind. So that is, we can say, the cause is mind being the cause of one's maya and bondage in the material world is a secondary, second level cause. And the primary one is avidya, which is rooted in the jiva. Well, they say he's Nityam. Nitya Bandha.
There should be some source of the human learning to bad activities.
Well, it's just Nitya Bandha. He's Nitya Bandha. The idea is the jiva at any point has a chance to choose other than that. But he doesn't. So every lifetime of Brahma he goes through all this and he doesn't choose. He has opportunity to choose, but he never does.
You can choose.
So all opportunities are given to the jiva, but generally he chooses to stay in bondage and try to enjoy. Well, devotees, we can, if the practice of bhakti is beyond the limits, whatever they do, but they may be influenced by any guna. And it's all bad. Of the three, sattva guna is better, but it's also bad in the sense it's a cause of bondage. So, papa gives rise to suffering in the material world, and punya, which is sattva guna, gives rise to nice results in the enjoyment results. So enjoyment in the material world is a result of one's sattvic activities, and that can be a cause of bondage because one becomes attracted to those objects of attachment. So sattva guna, like tamagun or rajagun, will bind you in the material.
Can we understand if the devotee is content with anything? It can be taken as a transcendental passion or transcendental ignorance.
What's that?
We have transcendental Vishuddha Sattva. Is there anything about Vishuddha Rajas and Vishuddha Tamas? The devotee gets angry.
Yeah.
Maybe in a transcendental platform. That passion can be defined in terms of spiritual passion.
Well, it can be, yeah. In the spiritual world there is the rasa and the sthayi bhava, secondary sthayi bhava of anger or krodha or raudra, that's the rasa that results. But in the spiritual world it's a little different because that's not real anger. It is only there as part of the pastimes to increase the enjoyment of Krishna in the spiritual world. So it's a little different. Here in the material world, the raudra or the anger is a manifestation of tamaguna, which is binding one to the material world, because out of anger one has activities, and activities lead to violence, etc., and then one suffers more in the material world. So the therefore the anger in the material world is a lot different.
how the modes operate in case of a devotee, say he is in sadhana bhakti, how does the modes operate? Is it during when he is executing some process of bhakti, modes are not operating, but at other times modes are operating? How does it actually work?
Well, as I said, the process of bhakti itself is beyond the modes. So in that one practices favorable devotion to Krishna, then beyond the modes in that particular act. But the nature of a person doing sadhana is that he's not always fixed in that. So therefore he's subject to modes at those times.
So when the modes stop acting in bhava or prema?
Yeah, well, ashakti all, yeah, I would just say bhava. The ahankara is destroyed in bhava. So avidya is destroyed also.
Krishna Chaitanya here, one man who knows what's happening in every living entity. But he remains human. But he sees a deal of making mistakes or he doesn't influence the individual to stop his activities. Like we see somebody touching fire, he pulls him from the fire. How can he remain neutral by knowing
him? Well, he gives him chances in the material world. And the jiva doesn't take the chances, in other words, the opportunities are given by the jiva and it doesn't take the opportunities, what can the Lord do? So his mercy is he gives opportunities to the jivas. If they don't take those opportunities, then what can he do? Just like seeds, we plant seeds. And if we plant the seeds on good ground, then they sprout and develop into plants. And if we put them on rocky ground, then they don't develop or whatever. So therefore, the mercy of the Lord is there in many cases, but in some jivas, it doesn't sprout. Their hearts are not ready for that. The jiva is not ready for that mercy. So therefore, opportunities are given. He does not take the opportunity. So therefore, nothing happens. Well, communication is the Paramatma makes arrangements for the jiva, and then the jiva doesn't want to take the advantage of it. So, what can he do? He may provide opportunities for advancement, spiritual life, and mercy of devotees, but unfortunately, that person doesn't want to take that mercy. So then, what can he do? He can't force a person to take mercy. Jivan Mukta could also be an impersonalist who doesn't have prema, or yogi or whatever. They can also be Jivan Mukta. Jivan Muktas? Nitya Muktas. They are with the Lord.
What bodies they get? What kind of body they get?
Spiritual body. With the Lord.
No, in the material world, when they come for fasting, performing fasting to the Lord,
yeah. The spiritual body. Whatever is body they have in the spiritual world, same body. They have eternal spiritual bodies, so it manifests in the material world along with the Lord for his pastimes.
Vandrasi Sushumat Bhagavad Ki, Sushumat Maharaj 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 Ki, Sushumat